Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out at the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. Going to be with you here for the full four. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much, but you want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. You can use your smartphone. You can use your Alexa speakers. You can use your tablet. You can use your Xbox or your Casio watch or your light bright, whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show, give us a follow on our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. He is at DD Lewis for real, producing the show day-day on the other side of the glass. Well, a lot to get into with you here as let's start with the Atlanta Braves. They take care of business, win 2 out of 3 over the California Angels, and I don't care if that's what their name is or not. We call them the California Angels on this show, and we don't really care what anybody else calls them. So they were the California Angels when Day-Day and I were watching them growing up, you know, with Gene Autry, the, you know, singing cowboy, and they'll always be the California Angels to us. So Braves take 2 out of 3. They pound on the Angels today, 12-5. I mean, Yanni Chirinos, I mean, he did just enough, right? He got to 5 innings, 75 pitches, 5 strikeouts, that's good, 6 hits, 3 runs, did not give up a home run, so he didn't get himself in too much trouble, and the offense did the rest from there. Oh, hey, Day-Day, look at the bottom of the order. How
bottom
about that?
Bottom of the order.
Let's see, 4-for-10. Hey, let me ask you if this is good or not, okay? The 7-8-9 hitters, they went 4-for-10 with 6 runs scored, a couple of RBI, and a walk. Is that good?
It's darn good.
Oh, okay. How many times are we going to tell you that the bottom of the order is the whole key to this thing? I know Ozzy and Ronnie and Riley and Olsen. I know those guys just rake. But when you get that bottom of the order turning the lineup over, where it's not just three automatic outs, that's why they're the deepest lineup. That's why it's the best lineup. And that's why a lot of those guys at the top of the order are having good seasons. You give those guys more at-bats, yeah, they're gonna produce a lot more. And Ronnie was 3-for-4 with 4 runs and 3 RBI. He homered today. Olsen homered in the game today. Riley homered in the game today. You get 6 runs scored out of your 7, 8, and 9 hitter. 6 runs, 2 RBI. They accounted for 8 runs today in that game. I mean, that's just crazy how good that this team is. I mean, with these guys that just, they just find a way. I mean, just offensively, they're just a juggernaut. And, you know, again, I haven't looked here lately. I'm going to do some probably work over the weekend just looking at, okay, where are the Braves now as far as, you know, beating this 2003 team with runs scored. They were at the halfway point. The halfway point, I know that they were on pace to break the 03 team's run scored record. I would imagine that they're on that pace still. But, you know, look, it's a situation where, you know, he did the job. By the way, Giolito lost the game today, the guy that they just picked up from a guy that I would have been interested in, you know, from the White Sox. But Yanni Chirinos, he got it done, you know. You know, he had 4 innings of relief to get through it all. And, you know, they did give up a couple of runs, but nothing too bad. And, you know, Colin McHugh closes it out. It is a blowout, and Braves get another win. So 69-37 on the year, 37-20 at home. So they've really improved that home record over these last few months here. And again, 11.5 on the Philadelphia Phillies, 13 up on the Fishnets, and 19 up on the Mutts. What a joke of a division. Yeah, no doubt.
F the Mets, F the Mets. Step right up and F the Mets. Bring your kiddies and bring your wife. They're gonna suck for the rest of your life.
I think about how much money Philadelphia and the Mutts spent to have competitive teams to compete with the Braves, and they are disasters. We knew the Marlins weren't going to do that. They're a good team. I mean, they've played pretty well. They're in the playoff mix, right? Philadelphia is in the playoff mix, 58-49. But everybody's playing for second fiddle in this division right now. But that bottom of that order, I'm telling you, for the Braves, that 7, 8, 9 hitters is just something to behold. Arthur Blank today at Falcons training camp talking about how much fun he's having. You know, we talked about this the other night on the show, and we've talked about this, I think, with Mike Rothstein or D-Led or Steve Weiss, something like that. But you can tell that he's having fun. And I thought it was an interesting quote from Arthur about the idea of, he said, you know, this is year 3, but this is the first time we feel like we have an NFL team. And I thought that was interesting. Like, again, he knows what they went through, and he knows all the trials and tribulations that they had to go through to get to this point, to be able to have a competent NFL team that can compete for something. I thought it was an interesting quote about what he had to say, just in general, talking about the idea of how much fun that that he's having out there. By the way, it was a crumble cookie day for the media. So they brought the media crumble cookies.
Oh, yeah, they brought them cookies. I think they said Terry Fontenot, right?
Yeah. Terry Fontenot brought out crumble cookies. So what is crumble cookie? Is it just one of those like big cookies, like a pizza?
Honestly, I don't know. If it's not chocolate chip, I don't really know.
Yeah, it didn't look like he bought a box of, like, you know, Mrs. Entenmann's or something like that. So they were like in pizza boxes. So I'm guessing that they were like what is that? What's that place called? What's the place in the mall? American Cookie or Giant Cookie?
Yeah. Great American Cookie Company.
Yeah, there you go. Great American Cookies. So get your cookies out there. But anyway, so that was it was the crumble cookie day for the media. So hopefully those people got all fat and sassy for all of it. Atlanta United did pick up a couple of players. I tell you, I don't even know who these guys are. I mean, obviously they are from foreign countries that nobody knows who they are by and large, but they did pick up a couple of guys, and they're adding roster pieces. Look, I mean, good. I mean, you know, no problem with that whatsoever. I mean, no issues, no problems with them trying to get better. I mean, it's been, you know, a very up-and-down season. It started off so well, one of the best starts that they ever had in franchise history, and it's just kind of gone sideways as, you know, whatever reasons there are. But, you know, it's been kind of interesting. So, you know, they just kind of haven't capitalized here of late. So they do add a couple of players to the mix, and we'll see what these guys do. I mean, Rasmus Hojlund. Are you familiar with his work, Day-Day?
No, none of them. I'm like you.
Yeah. Let's see here. I don't even know who these two guys are. So yeah, they're adding more pieces. Hopefully they work out, and hopefully they can do something, because again, somebody's got to play some defense at some point, right?
That's the biggest issue, the defense.
Yeah. Somebody at some point's got to play some defense. If it's
the back line, man, they got to get that thing together.
If this is a Gonzalo Pineda thing, let's figure some things out, because they're too good offensively to play that bad of a defense, you know. So anyway, Atlanta United adds a couple of more guys. And the other big story about in college athletics is the idea of, is the Big Ten going to expand? And a lot of rumor and innuendo about that idea. You know, they're talking about adding more Pac-12 teams to the mix. Why would they not? Like this, when they added Southern Cal and UCLA, when they showed a graphic that talked about how many miles USC is going to travel this football season. Forget about water polo, golf, wrestling, basketball. What else do they play? Baseball. Like, forget about all that. Just the football team was going to have like 10,000 miles or something or more, you know, logged. I mean, just it was crazy how many miles they were going to travel. Because, again, I think they have to go to Maryland and play, or Rutgers or somebody. I mean, just crazy how many miles they're going to play. So why would you not, if you're the Big Ten, add more teams to the footprint? Add more teams. Make it a coast-to-coast type of conference. No more a regional. Make it a coast-to-coast type conference. Have a lot of, you know, big-time programs in the mix. The playoff is expanding. You'll get multiples of teams in the playoffs. So it won't be just Michigan, Ohio State. It could be Southern Cal, or if they do add Oregon or Washington, or just, you know, adding more teams into the mix in all of this. So it does make a whole lot of sense. I don't really understand why you would only have added Southern Cal and the University of California, Los Angeles, if you're going to make those teams just travel to God's green earth to play other schools in the Big Ten. I know money has, you know, a lot to do with everything, and, you know, that's certainly the case. But still, though, I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense if all the money that you earn, you're giving it all back, you know, and travel fees and other things like that. But again, I think the Big Ten is going to expand, and I think they're going to purge the Pac-12. And look, I've said this for at least a decade. Well, no. How long have I been on there? 11 years in November? Okay, I said it since day one. I think they're going to be super conferences. I think one of the Power Fives is going to go away. I think we're going to be at four, maybe five conferences that's going to be where everybody plays for. It's going to be super conferences that teams will load up with 16, 20-member conferences, and that will be the group that plays for the national championships. That group of Power Five schools. They'll have all the power. They'll play for the championships, and, you know, they'll throw a cookie crumble out to, you know, these smaller conferences for a playoff spot or what have you, but they're going to rule the roost, and they're going to pocket all the money, and they're going to have all the real TV that goes along with it. And that's why there's more expanded playoffs and things like that. More television inventory, right? You notice how nobody ever contracts anything, right? Nobody ever gets smaller. TV, conferences, nobody ever gets smaller. So we'll see what happens with all of that. But I definitely think that the Big Ten is going to find a way to expand. All right, here's what we got. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. Tonight's question that we're asking you, more rushing yards for Bijan Robinson, more receiving yards for Kyle Pitts? Which one wins out in this battle? Chuck, we're hanging out in the Kia Studios. Your call's next. Sports Radio, 910 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday night with you. All right, 404-726-0929. That is both our phone line and it's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We're asking you the question as we kind of do a 720 question with you here weeknights. More rushing yards for Bijan or more receiving yards for Kyle Pitts? Who's going to have the highest number between those two? 404-726-0929. We'll talk to Dan Gartland coming up here in about 20 minutes, MLB writer for SI. Also covers their wrestling on their website as we got SummerSlam coming up here this weekend. But, you know, I've said before that I think Kyle Pitts has to have that Travis Kelce type of season, right? 100 catches, 1,400 yards, dozen touchdowns. Like, he has to have, like, that kind of impact on a football game. And while I think that Bijan Robinson is going to run for a pretty good amount of yardage, and I would not be surprised if, you know, we talked about this weeks and, well, months ago at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if, at the end of the day, Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson both ran for 1,000 yards. Now, that's not been done very often in the NFL. You haven't had two guys run for 1,000 yards very often. Falcons have done it before when they had work done and Michael Vick, but hasn't been done very often. You know, first done by Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer. They did it, late 70s, mid-late 70s. They were the first ones to do it, and been a few times since then. But I look at, you know, much like when we talked about, you know, who needs to have this or that, like, part of it is if we're going to get to where we're going to get, Kyle Pitts has got to have that kind of year. Kyle Pitts has got to have that kind of year. And I don't think that Bijan Robinson, and not because he's not a talented player or anything like that, I don't think Bijan Robinson is running for 1,500 yards. I think that there's going to be a lot of split carries with their two guys. I think that there's going to be, well, I should even say three-headed monster of three running backs that can run the football. So I think at the end of the day that there's no one person who's going to get a drastic amount of carries, barring injuries everywhere, who's not going to get a drastic amount of carries. But Pitts has got to have that kind of impact on this team. He's got to be able to impact the game in the ways that Travis Kelce and some of these top-tier players do. And if it's not, then again, we have to start questioning about, okay, was this the right pick? And it's not a matter of Kyle Pitts being a bad player. It's not a matter of, well, he had 1,026 yards, yes, with two touchdowns, and we lost 10 games that year. You know, we've lost 20. And by the way, we had a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. So, you know, we lost 20 games over the last 2 years. That has to change here very quickly. But I think that if we're going to get where we need to be, the more likely scenario, and especially if things are going to work out this year, is that Kyle Pitts has more receiving yards than Bijan Robinson has rushing yards. Now, from an all-purpose standpoint, certainly Bijan Robinson is going to have a big year because he's going to run and catch the football. And like I said, could he be a 1,000-yard duo with Tyler Allgeier? Could those two guys run for 1,000 yards? I could see that happening. I definitely can. With the way that they structure their offense, with the way that their offense is set up, and obviously it's a run-heavy, run-first offense, they've obviously got the offensive line and the personnel in front of them to be able to do it, but I just don't know that one guy is going to get that kind of carries. I do think that while Ritter's not going to be a guy who's going to huck it around 600 times this season, he's not going to be like Matt Ryan hucking it around. He'll throw it a good bit, but Pitts, I think, could ultimately be his big red zone threat. And that's obviously what we're waiting for. That's what we're wishing for. That's what we're hoping for. That's what we've been eyeballing since Pitts was drafted. So I'll take Pitts over Bijan Robinson. I'll ask you, Day-Day, who you got?
I'm going to say Robinson, and I'm going to say that because I was actually getting ready to ask you. I'll say Robinson with the yardage, but I want to say, what if it's because Pitts, though, does have a much more productive year in the red zone? So maybe he doesn't have the Travis Kelce passing type yardage, the 1,400 yards. But what if his touchdowns are, you know, up there, 10, 12 touchdowns? You know, are you happy with that?
Yeah. I mean, look, it has to be that kind of impact. You know, it has to be that kind of impact for Pitts to help us get to the playoffs and win the division and things like that. Like, let me put it like this, okay? If he's let's say he's Pitts's 75 catches and he's 900 yards and 3 or 4 touchdowns,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to look at that as a good year. I'm not going to look at that as a productive year. Has to be more. Has to be better. We have to start having our guys play at elite types of levels. And especially if we're going to influence the game at, you know, what did the former GM of the Saints say about, you know,
positions of impact?
Yeah. I mean, positions of impact or what have you. You know, we have to have guys that don't play positions of impact step their game up. We have to have those kinds of things. And obviously there are things that have to happen for Pitts. Ritter's got to be an important component of that, whereas Ritter doesn't have to be an important component of Bijan Robinson running behind McGarry and Lindstrom, right? Because we know that's going to work. We know
right.
Lindstrom and McGarry on that right-hand side, that's going to work. So, again, you know, as long as we have those two horses up front, we can run behind those guys. But things have to happen. You know, the line has to block. Ritter has to make an accurate throw. He's got to have time to throw. Like, all these things have, you know, four things have to happen before Pitts can be involved in it. But, again, I'm not making excuses for Kyle Pitts. If all those things have to happen, it's always had to happen that way. And it's not like Pat Mahomes can't find Travis Kelce.
Right.
You know, and by the way, it's not like Mahomes can't find Travis Kelce in the end zone. It's not like they're never doubling anybody except Kyle Pitts. Isn't like Travis Kelce's never seen a double team in his life. Never been a situation where Rob Gronkowski ever saw a double team in his life. That's mythology. All these guys get doubled, you know, up on. But we have to have our guy step through and make that kind of impact for this team. And he has to be able to put up and again, I'm not saying exactly those kinds of numbers, but you can miss me with a 1,000-yard receiving season and 2 touchdowns. Like, that's not going to get us to where we want to be, folks. It's not. And I don't care how much mythology you try to spin to me and all these kinds of things. At some point, our stars have to be legitimate stars on this thing. And they have to perform at that high of a level. And if we're not drafting guys that are at positions of impact on the football field, then I have to have guys be all world when you're talking about a position of not, you know, a non-traditional, non-impact position, you know, or what have you. I have to have those guys step up and be big time. You know, and I certainly think that Pitts is more than capable, and I think he's going to be a huge red zone threat for this team, and they're going to get him in the mix. But I can't sit through another year of Mykole Pruitt has more touchdowns than Kyle Pitts. I don't care if his leg got cut off. I don't care if he lost a limb. I can't have Mykole Pruitt scoring more touchdowns than the quote-unquote unicorn. That can't happen anymore on this team. Or guess what we're going to be? In all honesty, guess what we're going to be? We're going to be 7-10, 8-9. If somebody gets hurt, 6-11. So we're going to be. We're not going to get to 13-4 with Kyle Pitts having fewer touchdowns than Mykole Pruitt. That's not what happens in the NFL. Those things don't go together, you know? That your stars have to be your stars no matter what position that you play in this thing. And so I think that Pitts is primed to have a big year. I think with Desmond Ridder, he's a more accurate quarterback. I think they'll let him throw it a little bit. Not ridiculous. It's not going to be Matt Ryan's 600 dropbacks in a season, but I think they will let him throw and be comfortable, and he'll, you know, have a good number of passes, maybe not 25 passes per game, but again, they'll let him throw it some because there's too many pass-catching weapons. There's too many guys that can catch the football that are weapons for this team that have to be a part of what our offense is going to be to get to where we want it to be. And especially if we're talking about being 67% in the red zone touchdown percentage-wise, especially if we're trying to get to 26, 28 points. Well, guess what? Kyle Pitts has to catch a whole bunch of touchdowns. If it's like what John Freaky says, they can be 28, 30 points a game, okay, then you better have Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce and Marshall Faulk, because that's the kind of players that you have to be a 30-point-per-game offense. Like those, Mahomes, Kelsey, that group, that's where you have, that's the kind of star power you have to have. That's the kind of level it takes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When you're talking about 28, 30 points a game, those are few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
Few and far between. So we'll see. But I think that Pitts is primed for a big year. Obviously, I hope so. Obviously, I hope that they do some creative and unique things to get him involved in the offense. Again, he catches a lot of balls between the 20s. He's a real impact player between the 20s. I need him to be the impact player that we think he can be when we're down in the red zone, though. And 67%, I'll be tracking that stat all year. 67% red zone touchdown efficiency. I'll be monitoring that stat from the word jump. I'll be looking at that stat specifically about this offense. Tell me we're 67% in the red zone. I'll tell you we're a really good offense. All right, Dan Gartland going to join us next. We'll talk some MLB with him. We'll also talk a little bit about SummerSlam as well. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, Odyssey.com app. Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, Braves did make at least one move here before the deadline, and of course they made a couple of bullpen moves, but right at the deadline made a move for Brad Hand, but did not pull the trigger on a starter. So let's head up to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to Dan Gartland. He covers Major League Baseball for Sports Illustrated. Also covers wrestling for the publication as well. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page at Dan_Gartland. Dan, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me here in Atlanta for a few minutes this evening.
Yeah, of course. Sure thing.
Were you a little bit surprised that the Braves weren't able to pull a move for another starting pitcher? We saw the bullpen pieces, but were you a little bit surprised that they couldn't make a move for a starter?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of competition, right? So, and certainly two of the tough pitchers available were playing for the rival Mets, and the Mets are probably not keen to make a deal with the Braves and give up give up one of their better players to them. But they have a decent rotation. It's not a team with a lot of holes, so. They strengthened up that bullpen with Brad Hand, and I think they must feel that they're okay with that.
I did think it was interesting. I read somewhere about the idea that, the Braves farm system isn't what it once was a few years ago, and part of that is because you've had Strider and Michael Harris and Bryce Elder, guys that are coming up and performing at a high level that maybe, and this is, again, this is a good problem to have, but maybe because there's been so many guys that have come up and succeeded that the farm system isn't as deep, and maybe the Braves didn't have as much to offer some other teams.
Yeah, and they've also made a lot of trades in the past, right, for guys like Sean Murphy and Matt Olson. And so you know, those trades take prospects off the board. And so, you know, you make those moves back then, you don't have the same kind of resources to offer up this time around. But again, I think, you know, they're in their best record in the majors, right? So they're in a good spot.
Yeah. And Dan, do you look at a team like this as they're the best team in baseball right now?
I think, yeah, I mean, pretty undisputedly, right? There's certainly in the National League, not a lot of competition. I think there's some good teams in the AL, especially, you know, maybe the Blue Jays and the Orioles don't have the same number of wins as the Braves do, but that's because the Blue Jays and Orioles are in a really tough AL East and they're all beating up on each other, right? So, you know, they're up there, but you know, and the tough thing is they might finish, you know, with 10 or 12 wins more than any other team in the league this year, but then it's that crapshoot in the playoffs and they have to see what happens then.
Dan Gartland joining me on the waitfor.com hotline, baseball writer for SI.com. Look, we joke about it. Like, I'll say right out, I hate the Mets, okay? I truly hate the New York Mets. I hate the Red Sox. I hate the Mets. That's two teams that I will root for their demise every time. I do think it's funny that you got 16 starts out of, not you personally, but the Mets got 16 starts out of Justin Verlander and are going to pay about $50 million for him to walk away. This has been a disaster, and I will contend that might have been the worst contract in baseball history. Maybe not all Verlander's fault, but certainly with the injuries and things and not getting a lot out of him, This is a disaster all the way around for the New York Mets. I don't know if there's any other way to spin it with their, you know, with the contracts that they gave out this year.
Well, so my dad's a Mets fan, so I'm sure he'll like to hear that. But no, but I think, you know, Verlander, you know, that's a risk you run when you sign a pitcher who's on the wrong side of 40. But I think, like, if they're playing a different sport because Steve Cohen has more money than any owner in baseball, right? So What's a bad contract to him is not the same as what's a bad contract to Liberty Media with the Braves or the Steinbrenners or whatever. So, you know, I think Cohen, you know, if the Mets weren't as rich as they are, then Cohen might have been more content to sit on Verlander and, you know, and not trade him. But I think just because they got rid of him, got some value out of him in what's a lost season for the team, for reasons beyond the Verlander and Scherzer deals, right? I mean, there's the Mets have a lot of problems. Their rookies have really not lived up to expectations, and so that's one of the problems that's got them in the position they're in right now. And the bullpen with Diaz going down during the World Baseball Classic, right? They've got issues that run deeper than just those two big pitcher contracts. But again, Cohen being having the money that he does, was able to trade those guys away and get better return for them because, you know, he's one of the only guys who's willing to offer them the kind of money that they got. And so when you're trying to trade into another team, those teams don't have the appetite to pay them those high salaries. So Cohen was able to say, hey, I'll offload some of that money, offset it, and you know, and you give me a better prospect in return, and in exchange I'll foot the bill for his salary. So I think Cohen, you know, made the best out of what was a really bad situation.
Dan, are the Baltimore Orioles the best story in baseball this year? I mean, they're not dynamic, they're not flashy, but boy, I mean, they have won a crap ton of games. And, you know, you, to your point, that's such a good division. 66-41 in that division is 66-41 in that division. I give them all the credit in the world. And, you know, again, we've looked at some of their young talent, but I don't think anybody saw this coming out of Baltimore.
Yeah, and they have a problem, not a problem, but one of the, you know, maybe the one new area where they're weak is in the starting rotation, and so they did make a move for Jack Flaherty from the Cardinals, and that'll be, you know, that should help them down the stretch here. But that's, you know, I talked about the Mets having their rookies not live up to expectations. It's the opposite with the Orioles. You know, not Adley Rutschman, not a rookie, but a young guy. He's been playing great, and they have also the what's the other guy's name? They had Jordan Westberg. They just brought up a couple others. Like, and the bullpen is fantastic. They've got some, like, Felix Bautista is a fireballer. Like, he's probably the most dominant reliever in all the majors right now. And they're if they can keep it up, I mean, you know, again, tough division, but if they can keep it up, they might go far.
You know, Dan, we just saw the Angels here, and by the way, I call them the California Angels because I'm an old guy, and sure. I, you know, was Gene Autry was running the, you know, own the team, and I call them the California Angels. So But it's another year where, you know, now the Angels, after losing, now they're in fourth place. You know, they were, you know, playing pretty well, but still three games over 500. But now in fourth place, they're six games back. You know, it's a year where Trout is hurt again. You know, why would Shohei Ohtani, even though they love him and there's money to be had with all the endorsements and stuff like that, but why would Ohtani, from a baseball perspective, continue to stay with the Los Angeles Angels and decide to re-up with them? I mean, at some point, isn't it about winning? I mean, you can make your money, but isn't it some point about winning?
Yeah, I don't really think he will stay. It's the winning thing, which he has. You know, he doesn't, obviously with the language barrier, he's not really speaking to the media all that often. And when he does, it's through an interpreter. It's not very in-depth, but there are some comments that he made in the past about wanting to win, and credit to the Angels for trying to do that. But, you know, I think it's a combination of the money and the winning, and the Angels don't really, you know, they don't have a history of offering. I mean, they've offered, you know, bigger contracts to guys like Albert Pujols and Anthony Rendon in the past, but I don't know how willing Artie Moreno is to open up his wallet and give Ohtani the kind of money that a team like the Dodgers will. I think the Dodgers are the favorite because they have that winning pedigree. They have, you know, a ton of money and nice for Ohtani if he doesn't have to move, right? So I think, you know, it's credit to them credit to the Angels for, you know, making moves at the deadline here to, even though their playoff chances are slipping and are not great to begin with, you know, give them credit for at least making the push in what looks like it's going to be Ohtani's last year.
Sorry, let's switch gears here completely. So, SummerSlam, you know, on paper, this doesn't look like a great card. But, you know, here's the thing about the WWE that I can say this year. I give them the benefit of the doubt because their pay-per-views have been outstanding this year, starting with Royal Rumble and going through the Puerto Rico show and, you know, everything else, WrestleMania. I really, for the first time in a long time, even though that this doesn't look like a great card on paper, I give them the benefit of the doubt because they've delivered this year on pay-per-views, and I'm not expecting anything less come Saturday when SummerSlam rolls around. There's going to be some surprises, and there's going to be some things we don't expect because it's been that kind of year for WWE.
Yeah, I think, you know, give a lot of credit to Triple H as the new head of creative there. He's really turned things around in a way that you know, Vince McMahon had a kind of, you know, inconsistent booking strategy, and Triple H seems to be a guy who's less, you know, less liable to play on his whims, and he's got more of a consistent plan going. And I think, you know, obviously, like, WWE, they, you know, like, you go back and forth whether you prefer them or AEW, but there's, in terms of storytelling, but there's no denying that, like, WWE has top-notch in-ring talent, and so you're going to get, you know, like, Ricochet is, like, one of the most athletic guys you'll ever see on your TV screen in any capacity, and he's got a match against Logan Paul, and Logan Paul is a guy who, even at the part-timer, as a guy who's mainly famous for YouTube, he's really embraced being a wrestler, and he's really taken it seriously, and every time he's been on screen, he delivers, and he knows how to get the crowd to boo him, and he's got some really great, surprisingly great athleticism. I think that'll be a match that, you know, people maybe aren't looking at to steal the show, but I think that's, you know, that's one that I'd be watching for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously Royal Rumble, they do that crazy spot, you know, that, right, where they jump across the ring at one another. I mean, for what it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really fun match because, to your point, and I'll give the WWE credit for this, and I think even more than AEW, when they bring people in, whether it's Bad Bunny or whether it's a Logan Paul, they those guys buy into it. Like, they buy into what the WWE is, and it's not just some goofy gimmick spot or whatever like that. They really do take this thing seriously, and you see that they work hard at this, and they work hard to try to be good at what they're doing out there.
Yeah, it's a long way from Snooki. I think that was WrestleMania. You know, they get people who are, they're you know, they want to be there. They take it seriously. They're fans first and foremost, and that's, you know, that helps when you get somebody who knows the deal beforehand, and they can really get in there and show the fans what they want.
You know, Dan, and I've had Tony Khan on the show, and I've had a chance to talk to him, and he's a great guy, and I do like the promotion. But, boy, at times it is just it's hard to watch the booking on some of those shows for AEW. I mean, I scratch my head, and, you know, you talk about the in-ring talent. I mean, look, you know, the Saturday show for Collision has looked like a completely different show than Dynamite. And I think we kind of thought that with FTR and CM Punk and some of those guys were going to be featured on that show. But, boy, it really is dramatic when you watch Collision just in the presentation of that show versus even AEW Dynamite, which is their flagship show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly in their history, their brief history, they've done a good job at differentiating their different products, which can be tough. I think the thing with them is they do have, you know, it happens with WWE too. They go through hot streaks and cold streaks with their storytelling and their booking. The problem for AEW is they're the new kid on the block, and so every time there's a cold streak, it's kind of, you know, it kind of amplifies things, and they draw a little more criticism than you might expect. But you know, they give them credit for trying to do this Saturday show. I know that's, I haven't been able to watch that so much because I got plans on Saturday night. I'm not the only one. I think people are not usually sitting down to watch wrestling on a Saturday night, but hopefully they're going to make it work.
Last question for you. Do you still think the plan is at some point for Cody to beat Roman Reigns and take the belt? I still go back to WrestleMania. I still think it was a mistake having Cody lose to Roman Reigns. And again, you could have still done a lot of this story even without...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, Braves did make at least one move here before the deadline, and of course they made a couple of bullpen moves, but right at the deadline made a move for Brad Hand, but did not pull the trigger on a starter. So let's head up to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to Dan Gartland. He covers Major League Baseball for Sports Illustrated. Also covers wrestling for the publication as well. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page at Dan_Gartland. Dan, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining me here in Atlanta for a few minutes this evening.
Yeah, of course. Sure thing.
You know, were you a little bit surprised that the Braves weren't able to pull a move for another starting pitcher? We saw the bullpen pieces, but were you a little bit surprised that they couldn't make a move for a starter?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of competition, right? So, and certainly two of the tough pitchers available were playing for the rival Mets, and the Mets are probably not keen to make a deal with the Braves and give up give up one of their better players to them. But no, I think, and they have a decent rotation. It's not a team with a lot of holes, so. You know, they strengthen up that bullpen with Brad Hand, and I think they must feel that they're okay with that.
You know, I did think it was interesting. I read somewhere about the idea that, you know, the Braves farm system isn't what it once was a few years ago, and part of that is because you've had Strider and Michael Harris and Bryce Elder, guys that are coming up and performing at a high level that maybe, and this is, you know, again, this is a good problem to have, but maybe because there's been so many guys that have come up and succeeded that the farm system isn't as deep, and maybe the Braves didn't have as much to offer some other teams.
Yeah, and they've also made a lot of trades in the past, right, for guys like Sean Murphy and Matt Olson. And so, you know, those trades take prospects off the board. And so, you know, you make those moves back then, you don't have the same kind of resources to offer up this time around. But, again, I think, you know, they're in their best record in the majors, right? So they're in a good spot.
Yeah, and Dan, do you look at a team like this as they're the best team in baseball right now?
I think, yeah. I mean, pretty undisputedly, right? There's certainly in the National League, not a lot of competition. I think there's some good teams in the AL, especially, you know, maybe the Blue Jays and the Orioles don't have the same number of wins as the Braves do, but that's because the Blue Jays and Orioles are in a really tough AL East and they're all beating up on each other, right? So. You know, they're up there, but, you know, and the tough thing is they might finish, you know, with 10 or 12 wins more than any other team in the league this year, but then it's that crapshoot in the playoffs and they have to see what happens then.
Dan Gartland, joining me on the WadeFord.com hotline, baseball writer for SI.com. Look, we joke about, like, I'll say right out, I hate the Mets. Okay. I truly hate the New York Mets. I hate the Red Sox. I hate the Mets. That's two teams that I will root for their demise every time. I do think it's funny that you got 16 starts out of, not you personally, but the Mets got 16 starts out of Justin Verlander and are going to pay about $50 million for him to walk away. This has been a disaster, and I will contend that might have been the worst contract in baseball history. Maybe not all Verlander's fault, but certainly with the injuries and things and not getting a lot out of them, this is a disaster all the way around for the New York Mets. I don't know if there's any other way to spin it with their, you know, with the contracts that they gave out this year.
Well, so my dad's a Mets fan, so I'm sure he'll like to hear that. But no, but I think, you know, Verlander, you know, that's a risky run when you sign a pitcher who's on the wrong side of 40. But I think, like, if they're playing a different sport because Steve Cohen has more money than any owner in baseball, right? So what's a bad contract to him is not the same as what's a bad contract to Liberty Media with the Braves or the Steinbrenners or whatever. So, you know, I think Cohen, you know, if if he had, you know, if the Mets weren't as rich as they are, then Cohen might have been more content to sit on Verlander and, you know, and not trade him. But I think just because they got rid of him, got some value out of him in what's a lost season for the team for reasons beyond the Verlander and Scherzer deals, right? I mean, there's the Mets have a lot of problems. Their rookies have really not lived up to expectations, and so that's one of the problems that's got them in the position they're in right now. And the bullpen with Diaz going down during the World Baseball Classic, right? They've got issues that run deeper than just those two big pitcher contracts. But again, Cohen being having the money that he does was able to trade those guys away and get better return for them because you know he's one of the only guys who's willing to offer them the kind of money that they got. And so when you're trying to trade into another team, those teams don't have the appetite to pay them those high salaries. So Cohen was able to say, "Hey, I'll offload some of that money, offset it, and you know, and you give me a better prospect in return, and in exchange, I'll foot the bill for his salary." So I think Cohen, you know, made the best out of what was a really bad situation.
Dan, are the Baltimore Orioles the best story in baseball this year? I mean, they're not dynamic, they're not flashy, but boy, I mean, they have won a crap ton of games. And, you know, you, to your point, that's such a good division. 66-41 in that division is 66-41 in that division. I give them all the credit in the world. And, you know, again, we've looked at some of their young talent, but I don't think anybody saw this coming out of Baltimore.
Yeah, and they have a problem, not a problem, but one of the, you know, maybe the one new area where they're weak is in the starting rotation. And so they did make a move for Jack Flaherty from the Cardinals, and that'll be, you know, that should help them down the stretch here. But that's, you know, I talked about the Mets having their rookies not live up to expectations. It's the opposite with the Orioles, you know, not Adley Rutschman, not a rookie, but a young guy. He's been playing great, and they have also the, what's the other guy's name? They had, Jordan Westberg, they just brought up a couple others. Like, and the bullpen is fantastic. They've got some, like, Felix Bautista is the fireballer. Like, he's probably the most dominant reliever in all the majors right now. And they're, if they can keep it up, I mean, you know, again, tough division, but if they can keep it up, they might go far.
You know, Dan, we just saw the Angels here. And by the way, I call them the California Angels because I'm an old guy and sure. I, you know, was Gene Autry was running the, you know, owned the team. And I call them the California Angels. So, but it's another year where, you know, now the Angels after losing, now they're in fourth place. You know, they were, you know, playing pretty well, but still three games over 500, but now in fourth place, they're six games back. You know, it's a year where Trout is hurt again. You know, why would Shohei Ohtani, even though they love him and there's money to be had with all the endorsements, stuff like that, but why would Ohtani, from a baseball perspective, continue to stay with the Los Angeles Angels and decide to re-up with them? I mean, at some point, isn't it about winning? I mean, you can make your money, but isn't it some point about winning?
Yeah, I don't really think he will stay. It's the winning thing, which he has. You know, he doesn't. Obviously, with the language barrier, he's not really speaking to the media all that often. And when he does, it's through an interpreter. It's not very in-depth. But there are some comments that he made in the past about wanting to win. And credit to the Angels for trying to do that. But, you know, I think it's a combination of the money and the winning. And the Angels don't really, you know, they don't have a history of offering. I mean, they've offered, you know, bigger contracts to guys like Albert Pujols and Anthony Rendon in the past. But I don't know how willing Artie Moreno is to open up his wallet and give Ohtani the kind of money that a team like the Dodgers will. I think the Dodgers are the favorite because they have that winning pedigree. They have, you know, a ton of money and nice for Ohtani if he doesn't have to move, right? So I think, you know, it's credit to the Angels for, you know, making moves at the deadline here too, even though their playoff chances are slipping and are not great to begin with, you know, give them credit for at least making the push in what looks like it's going to be Ohtani's last year.
So, all right, let's switch gears here completely. So, SummerSlam, you know, on paper, this doesn't look like a great card, but you know, here's the thing about the WWE that I can say this year. I give them the benefit of the doubt because their pay-per-views have been outstanding this year, starting with Royal Rumble and going through the Puerto Rico show and, you know, everything else, WrestleMania. I really, for the first time in a long time, even though that this doesn't look like a great card on paper, I give them the benefit of the doubt because they've delivered this year on pay-per-views, and I'm not expecting anything less come Saturday when SummerSlam rolls around. There's going to be some surprises, and there's going to be some things we don't expect because it's been that kind of year for WWE.
Yeah, I think, you know, give a lot of credit to Triple H as the new head of creative there. He's really turned things around in a way that you know, Vince McMahon had a kind of, you know, inconsistent booking strategy, and Triple H seems to be a guy who's less, you know, less liable to play on his whims, and he's got more of a consistent plan going. And I think, you know, obviously, like WWE, they, you know, like go back and forth whether you prefer them or AEW, but there's, in terms of storytelling, but there's no denying that like WWE has top notch in ring talent, and so you're going to get, you know, like Ricochet is like one of the most athletic guys you'll ever see on your TV screen in any capacity, and he's got a match against Logan Paul. And Logan Paul is a guy who, even as a part-timer, as a guy who's mainly famous for YouTube, he's really embraced being a wrestler, and he's really taken it seriously. And every time he's been on screen, he delivers, and he knows how to get the crowd to boo him, and he's got some really great, surprisingly great athleticism. I think that'll be a match that, you know, people maybe aren't looking at to steal the show, but I think that's, you know, that's one that I'd be watching for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously Royal Rumble, they do that crazy spot, you know, that, right, where they jump across the ring at one another. I mean, for what it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really fun match because, to your point, and I'll give the WWE credit for this, and I think even more than AEW, when they bring people in, whether it's Bad Bunny or whether it's a Logan Paul, they those guys buy into it. Like, they buy into what the WWE is. And it's not just some goofy gimmick spot or whatever like that. They really do take this thing seriously. And you see that they work hard at this. And they work hard to try to be good at what they're doing out there.
Yeah, it's a long way from Snooki. I think that was WrestleMania. You know, they get people who are, they're, you know, they want to be there. They take it seriously. They're fans first and foremost, and that's, you know, that helps when you get somebody who knows the deal beforehand, and they can really get in there and show the fans what they want.
You know, Dan, I've had Tony Khan on the show, and I've had a chance to talk to him, and he's a great guy, and I do like the promotion, but boy, at times it is just, it's hard to watch the booking on some of those shows for AEW. I mean, I scratch my head, and, you know, you talk about the in-ring talent. I mean, look, you know, the Saturday show for Collision has looked like a completely different show than Dynamite. And I think we kind of thought that with FTR and CM Punk and some of those guys were going to be featured on that show. But boy, it really is dramatic when you watch Collision just in the presentation of that show versus even AEW Dynamite, which is their flagship show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, certainly in their history, their freak history, they've done a good job at differentiating their different products, which can be tough. I think the thing with them is they do have, you know, it happens with WWE too. They go through hot streaks and cold streaks with their storytelling and their booking. The problem for AEW is they're the new kid on the block, and so every time there's a cold streak, it's kind of, you know, it kind of amplifies things, and they draw a little more criticism than you might expect. But you know, they give them credit for trying to do the Saturday show. I know that's, I haven't been able to watch that so much because I got plans on Saturday night. I'm not the only one. I think people are not usually sitting down to watch wrestling on a Saturday night, but hopefully they're gonna make it work.
Last question for you. Do you still think the plan is at some point for Cody to beat Roman Reigns and take the belt? I still go back to WrestleMania. I still think it was a mistake having Cody lose to Roman Reigns. And again, you could have still done a lot of this story even without Roman Reigns having the title, especially because, again, Jey Uso is not beating Roman Reigns. I mean, with all due respect, even Triple H and Vince McMahon are not going to put the belt on the WWE title, the Universal title. They're not going to put it on Jey Uso. So if that's not going to happen, is it going to be Cody at some point that maybe next year at WrestleMania that he finally breaks through in this whole thing?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I was in the minority, and I thought that that Roman should have won that match at WrestleMania, because I think one thing that, even if you guys, you know, even if it's not that you say that he should have, that I think he was going to, because one thing to remember is that WWE, they love their own history, and Roman was approaching that 1,000-day milestone as champion, and, you know, they really want to, you know, you better believe they were gonna push that angle. And, you know, and the other thing about that is, you had Roman kind of becoming stale to an extent as the champion, but then by introducing now the second title belt on Raw, you kind of add new flavor to all your to Raw, especially, right? Raw was lacking without that, the presence of the champion there. So then you add the belt, the new belt that's held by Seth Rollins now, and that adds a little bit more, you know, color to the show. It really makes the whole show come together a lot better. And for Cody, you know, he had just come back not that long ago from that long injury layoff after he had that torn pec where he wrestled that match at Hell in a Cell with the torn pec, which was like, I mean, that's a match, you know, give the belt to the guy right there, right after that torn pec. But he had just come back from that. And I think it would have felt a little bit rushed to then immediately hand him the belt. And I think now he gets to prove to people a little bit more why he deserves to be champion.
Well, I definitely think he's going to beat Brock because, again, it would not make sense for him to lose to Brock if you're trying to build some storyline to it. So that's
right.
That's the other part of it, this too. So you can follow him on his personal Twitter page, @Dan_Gartland, baseball writer, wrestling writer for SI.com, and he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Dan, really appreciate the time. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. We'll chat again soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. Falcons did have a couple of injuries today. We'll hear lots of clips as well from all the parties involved. Drake London, Arthur Smith, and everybody else. Kyle Pitts as well. Chuck Reed in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.